You know, I think it's been over a year ago now that I met a young man at the National Wild Turkey Federation at a South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One Deer Clinic. He told me about some things they were doing at Clemson, and I said, let's stay in touch. We did, and I'm happy to welcome Brett Staton to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Brett, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Roger. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. It's been really busy, both for me and for you, and I'm glad we got a chance to do this like we talked about last year. And you're really doing some exciting things, and one of the focuses of Woods and Water, South Carolina, is getting the next generation involved in the outdoors, whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, camping. And you're actually focusing on a little older age group in the college age, but which is exciting. But take just a second, introduce yourself, and tell us what you do down at Clemson.
All right. My name is Brett Staton. I'm originally from the great state of Kentucky. Grew up there, deer hunting, turkey hunting, ducks, dove, you name it. And eventually got a degree in wildlife management from Eastern Kentucky, which led me to grad school at Clemson, where my degree kind of focuses on the human dimensions, economics, and policy side of conservation. But we're doing research with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. We've got two different research projects with them, actually. They're similar but a little different, both focused on hunter recruitment and retention. How do we get more people hunting, increase license sales, that kind of stuff. We're focusing one project on kids in particular and another one on college students.
Cool. And I tell you, with this weather we're having and the cool mornings and all, it shouldn't take a whole lot of prodding to get people outdoors and hunting and this time of the year. So if you're intermingling with people in October in South Carolina, what a better time of the year to encourage them to get outside.
Yep, once you get that fall crisp in the air, I know I get the itch to get out in a tree stand, so I'm sure a lot of other people do as well.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little bit before today about what we're going to talk about, and I cover a lot of what Pittman Robertson does. Every year when the money is kind of doled out to the states, I say how much South Carolina's got. But you probably got a different perspective on that, the financial aspects of hunting and fishing. So take a few minutes and talk about the money that's required to come in and the cost of conservation.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely do that. Well, basically, conservation in North America is funded from two main sources. As you mentioned there, the Pittman-Robertson, which is, of course, a 10 to 11% excise tax on firearms and ammunition that basically goes into a federal pot and then is distributed back to state agencies based on a certain number of criteria. And then the other main source is hunting licenses. Most state agencies, with the exception of a few who have changed things up recently, don't receive any state tax dollars. So their entire operating budget comes from hunting licenses and then that excise tax on guns and hunting equipment that's distributed back to the states. And that system has worked wonderfully in North America since the 1930s. That funding system has helped restore white-tailed deer, turkeys, wood ducks, you name it. There was probably some sort of restoration effort that was funded by hunters needed to bring those animals back. But that system is in a little bit of trouble now as hunting licenses since the 70s have shown a decline. They've plateaued a little bit in recent years, but with the population going up, you'd like to see the sale of hunting licenses going up. Sure. And unfortunately, that has not been happening the last couple of years.
You mentioned the restoration of deer and turkeys and all that. And I read a story the other day. I think West Virginia, in conjunction with the Rocky Mountain Elk Federation, is fixing to reintroduce elk up there.
Yeah, elk has been there's been several successful reintroduction projects all through the kind of the Southeast Appalachians. I know Kentucky, where I'm from originally, was one of the first states east of the Mississippi to do a major elk restoration on reclaimed strip mines up there. And they're having incredible success with their elk populations. They're getting big, mature bulls. And they actually have a large enough population that they've implemented hunting seasons kind of based on a lottery quota system.
Yeah.
So I'm 0 for 10, unfortunately, but I'll keep applying.
Do you get preference points, or is it just purely lottery from year to year?
They don't do preference points. It's okay. It's purely lottery for year to year, but they do try to keep most of the tags in state, which is
okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, there's hope.
Yep. One day.
One day. Well, you mentioned the two programs you've got running now. You're working with the TOMO program with DNR, and you're working on some college stuff. Take a minute and tell us what you're doing with the TOMO program.
The TOMO program, TOMO, for those of you that don't know, stands for Take One, Make One. And it's DNR's mentored hunting program, basically where you pair a kid up with a parent who might not have hunting experience or be able to get the kid out in the field and they can attend mentored hunts all around the state, some of it on state lands. Some of it, TOMO's lucky enough to have private landowners open their land up and get these kids out hunting. But basically, like I said, a kid is paired up with a mentor and goes on a hunt. They do deer hunts, turkey hunts, squirrel hunts, you name it. You can hunt it through the TOMO program. And it's a very educational experience, very hands-on. Hunting is one of those things you really can't learn unless you get out there and do it.
Right.
And for kids who might not have the means or the connections to do it on their own, the TOMO program is a great way to get involved with that. And a good way to first get involved in the TOMO program is through the hunting clinics that DNR does around the state for kids. They do about five a year.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a deer clinic in Sumter. We've got another deer clinic coming up on November 8th in Georgetown. If anybody on the coast is interested in that, I highly recommend it.
Okay. Yeah, those are good. I've been to two of them down at the National Wild Turkey Federation, and it's so hands-on. I mean, it is driven by getting those kids with their hands dirty.
Exactly. You're exactly right about that. Like I said, hunting is one of those things. You can watch all the YouTube videos or read whatever you want. Until you get out there and do it, you don't really understand it. But like you said, these clinics are incredibly hands-on. The conservation officers at DNR that run the clinic do a tremendous job. There's typically four different stations at each clinic. You do get to do some shooting, so there's all the equipment and gear you needed is provided by DNR
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to practice shooting a rifle. They have a couple different types of tree stands, safety harnesses, all the gear. You can test out a lot of the gear, practice climbing trees, get up in a tree stand, see what it looks like up there. They do a session on cooking, which I usually take notes on those sessions too. My cooking can use some work. But then they do another clinic on field dressing. And then another incredibly hands-on clinic where they simulate a blood trail following a deer
right.
through the woods, and then they go over a lot of the laws and regulations. And it's basically a one-day crash course with all the basics you need to really get started deer hunting.
And that's a great program. I'm a TOMO mentor. I haven't been able to be a mentor yet this year, but I'm hoping there's a chance I'll get to later on the season. But you're doing something in your research kind of focuses on an older age group, the college age. That'd be 18 to mid-20s or so. And I've often, when we talked about this, I started thinking, those kids, they have a little time, they probably have a little money, and they have transportation, which is something that a 12-year-old kid, he's totally at the mercy of somebody who's willing to take him. So talk just a few minutes about what you're seeing in the college age TOMO participation or what y'all are trying to do down there at Clemson.
Yeah, so you hit the nail right on the head there, talking about a lot of the good positive reasons why college students could be a potential market to get some new hunters out of. And really, when we talk about the hunter recruitment and retention piece or puzzle, there's not one easy answer.
Right.
And a lot of other people have looked at various demographics. I know women are the fastest growing group of hunters in the country. But there's been research done on locavores, people upset with the industrial food complex and where
mm-hmm.
their food comes from and trying to hunt and get, organic free-range meat, and it doesn't get any more organic or free-range than a wild animal.
Sure.
You've had people say that the action sports group, the people already out there climbing mountains and stuff like that could be a huge group of hunters, but nobody had explicitly researched college students.
Okay.
So that was what we're doing at Clemson, and what we found, like you said, is it's a potential huge market for people interested in getting involved in hunting. So we've surveyed like over 5,000 students. We've had respondent surveys from both Clemson and Kansas State University.
Okay.
And basically what we found is that About half of them have never been hunting before, but of those half, another half of those are interested in hunting or would be willing to consider hunting in the future. So we were blown away by those numbers. It was the same way at both schools. There's a lot of students interested in hunting, but the question becomes, how do you get them hunting?
Sure.
And that's kind of what our research focuses on.
How do you get them hunting?
That's a good question. We partnered with DNR last year. We had, for the first time ever, they offered a clinic very similar to the youth clinics, the same layout and everything like that. They offered it to college students at Clemson for the first time on the condition that the students had never been hunting before.
Okay.
At the youth clinics, you get kids that with a little more of a hunting background, but DNR for the older group really wanted to focus on kids that had never been hunting before.
Okay.
So we filled the clinic up last year. We had about 20 students come out. We've got it full again this year. We'll be doing it on October 22nd here at Clemson.
Okay.
And then we've added another a mentored hunt, kind of like similar to the Hunts in the Tomo program at the National Wild Turkey Federation. But programs like that is really, I think, how you tap in to this this market of college students and get them hunting. Through our research, we've looked into the biggest barriers that prevent people from hunting, and we kind of separated the college students into hunters and non-hunters.
Okay.
As you can imagine, the hunters, their biggest barrier to hunting is they lack the free time required to hunt. We touched on that at the beginning of this interview. Another issue you see with college students is a lot of them have moved away from the area they typically hunt.
Okay.
And they don't have time to go back and hunt again. As an agency, when you're looking at that, there's not really much you can do to break down those barriers. But when you look at the barriers experienced by non-hunters, I think out of the top five biggest barriers, four of those, there are things that state agencies can do to begin knocking down those barriers. The biggest barrier was that they've not completed a hunter's education course,
right.
And they lack the knowledge and skills required to hunt.
Okay.
Our research is kind of indicating that most of these college students, a lot of their friends hunt. They didn't really indicate that not having anywhere to go or not having anyone to hunt with is an issue.
Wow.
Their biggest issue is not completing a hunter's education course, lack of knowledge required to hunt or prepare game meat, and the costs.
Okay.
So through programs like what we're implementing here at Clemson, you can provide a place to hunt or provide the education they need to be confident. And that way, when a friend does invite them out, they're not intimidated, you know, because they don't know what they're doing.
Sure.
I think that's a big part of it. People don't want to go out there and, you know, look like an idiot or something. not that anyone will judge them, and you know, hunters are good at welcoming people into the fold.
Yes.
But it can be intimidating. You're not just going to walk out into the woods with a gun and try to start hunting. So you do need to have some sort of introduction to that. And like I said, I know Clemson's doing it now with the programs we got going on. Where I went to undergrad in Kentucky is also doing it. So I think with this research, we're really going to start to see these programs catching on at colleges around the country.
Well, that's great. Anything I can do here to help you, you please let me know. That's an additional area that I'd love to devote some time to is the college age kids. But you, you've got some stuff coming up, some events and fundraisers. I'd love to take the last minute or so and talk about those events.
Yeah, we do have a few events coming up. As I mentioned, we've got the Clemson Clinic on October 22nd. That's full, unfortunately. We could add some names to the waiting list if anybody, if any Clemson students out there are interested.
Okay.
And then we've got the Mentored Hunt on October 29th. But also on October 22nd, the Clemson Shotgun Team is having their fundraiser at the National Wild Turkey Federation Shooting Complex. I'm also, as part of my graduate assistantship, I also teach a few of the undergrad shooting classes here at Clemson. I'm involved with the shotgun team. So if you guys want to come out and support the team and shoot some sporting clays, that is Saturday, October 22nd at 9 a.m., and we hope to see some of you guys there.
And if you've never been, you've been and I've been, I shot both the North and the South sporting clays course a couple weeks ago. That is an incredible facility down there.
It is. It's absolutely amazing, and I'm excited to get back down there.
Yeah. Well, Brett, I appreciate you making time to be on. We just kind of scratched the surface of this. Let's make an effort to keep in contact as the fall goes through, and then maybe next spring let's get on and do another segment and get a little deeper into these numbers.
Sounds good to me. I look forward to it.
Okay, Brett. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Good.